Turn your Bibles to Psalm, the 51st chapter. Psalm, the 51st chapter. A prayer of repentance from David, the king. Start at the first verse. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness. Then the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all of my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit in me. Do not cast me from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifices, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then they shall offer bulls at your altar. Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your loving kindness to us. Touch our ears today as we hear your word. Let it cut between the bone and marrow of our life, causing us to be the men and women that you would have us to be in this place. Do a new thing. God, touch our hearts today. I want to focus on, of course, verse 10, 11, and 12, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with your generous spirit. I want to talk to you just a moment about show and tell. Anybody ever played that? Or participated in show and tell? Raise your paw if you ever did show and tell. Oh, some of you haven't done show and tell. Well, growing up in school, every now and then the teacher would say, we're going to have show and tell tomorrow. You bring something and you get to talk about it these many minutes and things like that. I hate show and tell. Because it always seems like, well, it didn't seem like, in school, they went by alphabetical order. Smith. I was snoring by the time it got to me and kind of bored, and everybody else's presentation was good. So show and tell. I want to talk to you today about your heart. How is your heart? When I'm talking about heart, I'm talking about the inner man, the mind, the will, the understanding, that innermost part, your soul, your being, your knowledge, your thinking, your reflection, your memory, your conscience, the seat of your appetite, the seat of your emotions, your passions. That's what I want to talk about. I said, God, well, what am I going to preach about today? And he asked me, Floyd, how's your heart? I don't know if, can you hang up when somebody sends you a text? You can't. You just have to read it and be mad. How is your heart? And the scripture tells us today that we're looking at, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. How is your heart? I'm not talking about what you present to everybody. Because you know, we can be holy, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost and on fire. And when people ask us how you are, your answer can always be, that's one. Your answer can always be, I'm going with blessed. She helped you just a little bit. We don't want to be here all day. Your answer can be, blessed. You all know me? Are you new? Anybody new here today? So when you ask me, how you doing, Floyd, what do I say? Blessed. Because when I add up all the things in my life, and we get down to the bottom of it, and the way things could have gone and might have gone, I am blessed. And that comes from a place that is not external, that comes from an internal place. How's your heart today? Because out of the heart, we speak what's really going on in us. Anybody in here used to get up on Saturday morning and watch? Help me, this is talk back church today. Say it loud, Kevin. Did y'all live in a cave? On Saturday morning, we watch cartoons. Hello? Anybody? I need to know who I'm talking to because, you know, I've gotten old enough where some of the analogies that I use, because it never happened. Because kids today watch animated adventures all day long on the 24-hour channels. And if they don't watch it, they can TiVo it and binge. It was Saturday. From whenever they came on, about 6 o'clock to 12 o'clock, because after 12 o'clock, you had to clean the house. Y'all didn't grow up in America, did you? You had to clean, you had to sweep the dirt. What kind of nonsense is that? Is the dirt going to get clean as you sweep it? You had to do something, and it didn't, it wasn't just clean, it had to be. They use this product, Spick and Span or Pine Sol Clean. I'm trying to help you young people just a little bit. So when we talk like this, then you understand what we're saying. I know, that's a long time. That was back in the 19th century. Huh? It had to be Pine Sol Clean. And if you didn't do right during the week, we didn't have time out, we had punishment. I can't even tell you, because they will dig up my mother and take her to jail for the abuse that she put on this sweet child that did not do what she said. How's your heart? How's your heart? You know, I live an interesting life. If you all have been following, an interesting life. And sometimes I just have to sit down and ask God, you know how much I can bear. Can you give a brother a hint? Is there a sliding scale? What are we doing here? What's going on? Because I know some other people who are not living as holy and righteous as I am that could probably take some of this trouble that would turn their life around in Jesus' name. But that's not the case. Probably about 2 years ago, I started asking you to repeat those scriptures that I use and to say that the joy of the Lord is my strength and the strength of the Lord is my joy and stuff. And in the season of life, I'm beginning to understand what that means. So God asked me this question, how is your heart? Because that's the seed of everything that's coming out of you and me bringing you out. Coming out of you and me bringing you out. I need you to understand that this is not Floyd, because I would rather curl up in a fetal position and just sit there and let you all bring me casseroles. Yeah. But God said no. He says, since this is the day that I made, you need to get up and you need to rejoice. You need to do the things that you need to do. And so I sometimes get up and I do that, but my heart's not in it. Anybody know what I mean? Say something if you know what I mean. My heart is not in it. The innermost part of me, my emotions, my thought pattern is in it. Because I know how to do this, but my heart is not in it. If we look at Psalms 51, that's David at a time, a crucial time in his life, where all the covers have been taken off of his situation. Dave had a situation. Y'all familiar with Dave's situation? Anybody read the Bible here? His boy Nate came around. Nathan the prophet. I just call him Nate. And he has some bad news to give David, because it was all over Facebook in Jerusalem. I mean, everybody had liked and shared this thing. Dave had Uriah killed, and he living with Bathsheba, and they gonna have a baby. Well, Dave's a king. He can do whatever he want. Have you ever thought about that in your life, that you're a Christian? Because of God's grace, you can do whatever you want. None of y'all do that, right? You'd be just like Dave. So David's sitting on the throne. Everything is going. The plot has thickened. And Nate gets this assignment. And this assignment is a hard assignment that Dave really doesn't want to do, but God has given him the strength to do it, and he knows that he fears God more than he fears Dave. Have you ever been in a situation where the authority over you is doing something wrong, but the authority in you has told you to do what's right? Nate goes to Dave, and he says, Dave, help me out a little bit. There's a dude who has a whole lot of sheep, and he goes and he takes the one sheep that this other dude has. And Dave just gets indignant. Dave does not click that he's talking about him. He just gets indignant. And he says, I kill him. And I don't know at that moment what Nate was thinking in his head about, should I go a little further? And say, you're that dude. And this is what happens. Dave takes out a sword, he cuts off Nate's head, and he turns around to everybody else, and he says, try it. Say something to me. No, Dave takes off his clothes in the fashion of his time. He strips him, and he repents of what's really going on in his heart, because that's where all this stuff started. He went on the balcony and he saw Bathsheba. And I'm thinking about Dave. I say, how many wives you already got? How many cars you already got? You want another car? No, he's saying, I want that car. Well, Dave, you can't have that car because it belongs to somebody else. And you know, if you take somebody else's car, what do we call that? Yes. Not the game. But grand theft auto. You stealing, Dave. You got enough. But my heart, my emotions, my will says, I want her. Well, how do I get her and still feel that I've done everything that I should do it? You know, when I come into the palace, they will stand up and say, David, what a wonderful dude you are. We remembered that you killed Goliath, that you took back Jerusalem, that you are our king and stuff. And they ignore what's on Facebook because everybody knew, right? Right? How do we get to the point where we call good evil and evil good? It's when our heart is not right, when our mind is not right, when we don't submit ourselves to God, when we don't do this, what do they say? Deep cleaning. Yes. Yes, that's what ladies like to say. Deep cleaning. We're going to do deep cleaning today. And I'm like, I got something else to do. Because deep cleaning means that you move stuff. Is that right? Okay. You go behind stuff. You get the stuff that's real low. Because you know, Poppy, when he get down, he got to think about getting up. He can't be doing that like everybody, you know, jump down and, because I'm just down. I'm like, push the plate over here, honey. You got to think about getting up. So that deep cleaning. So God did that deep cleaning in David. How does God do deep cleaning in you today? I'm sorry. I apologize for saying that. How does he do deep cleaning in you today? Well, let me say that he uses circumstances and situations to see how much do you love me? How much are you going to obey me? How much are you going to trust me? David's in a dilemma. It's on Facebook. It's on CNN. And for you folks who like Fox, it's on Fox too. Okay? That he has committed this horrible crime. And now he's going to repent. And won't you think that that's good enough for God? Okay, God, we're even. I'm fasting, I'm repenting and stuff. And God comes back and says, well, by the way, Dave, the child that you in her hand is going to die. Now, if Dave was a 21st century Christian, he would rebuke God in the name of Jesus. Yeah. That was a quiz, okay? He would rebuke God in the name of Jesus, throw some oil on him, send for some water and a book and a video to get this thing off of him. But he didn't do that because his heart was right. And God was dealing with his emotions. And he understood that he would have to suffer the consequences. And as believers in Christ, we don't really like suffering. Raise your hand in here if you would like to suffer today. Even though it's in the scripture that you want some suffering. In fact, supersize my suffering. No, we don't like to suffer. We don't like to persevere. We don't like to lay bare before God. So when David was laying bare before God, that means that he stopped all the pleasures of being a king. And I'm thinking about David, and he was around 37, maybe 40 years old when this would happen. And do you know Dave's history? Dave, little Dave. Y'all remember teenage Dave? Out in the field, and the prophet comes and says, hey, one of your kids are going to be king. Send them out. And Jesse sends out all seven of them. Jesse has eight sons. And then the prophet says, somebody missing? Yeah. Well, who is he? Dave. He's out there tending the sheep. I need Dave. Dave comes and, what you want, Paul? Because he's there listening to his music and stuff and tending the sheep and doing all the time, away from the brothers and all the drama and stuff of all those kids and stuff, and he's cool. He says, well, the prophet wants to anoint you to be king. And you know what teenagers do, whatever. All right. Yeah, and he thought, well, isn't there a king already? Yeah. So, well, you're going to be king. You're going to be the next king. So Dave grows up, and he has this little tiff with the Philistines. I'm thinking of this. I would never rob a bank with kids, especially teenagers today, because they think they got rights and things like that. And they would go in there and just mess the thing up and probably say, hey, Floyd. Then I'd go to jail and the teenagers would go free and stuff. But listen, they did what he did, and he got the slingshot and he hit the giant in the head. And Dave became famous and kind of agitated the king. So Dave is building up this resume of great things. The king was after him, throwing spears at his head and stuff like that. And David had a clean heart before God, and he knew that God had set Saul as king, and he wouldn't kill him. He'd get close, cut some of his clothes off and things like that, but he didn't do it. He respected what God had established. Do we respect what God has established in our heart? Or do we take for granted that sometimes when things are so hard in our life that we can do whatever we want to do? Do you know people like that? Not yourself. Don't move. Do whatever you want to do. You can see something that you want that maybe God doesn't want you to have. And you can go for it. Just because you can. Have you ever done anything just because you can? Never. That's one person telling the truth in church. Just because you can. And then you get to that point where God has your attention and he speaks to you and he asks you this question, how's your heart? Because you know, the sin is simple. Anything that does not please God. Is there anybody in here who has not pleased God in something? Just check. Don't shake your head or raise your hand. Just see me after church. Okay. Because there's some perfect people in here. There's some perfect people in here. Anything that does not please God is sin. So when David got to that point where Nate revealed that sin to him, he repented. And in verse 10 and 11 and 12, he says, create in me a clean heart. Do something with my emotions, with my inside, with who I really am. See, I'm looking at you. I really don't know who you are. And quite frankly, I don't wanna. Because I got my own stuff. So this is that point where anybody sings in the shower, you can raise your hand on that. That's not a judgmental question. Do you sound good? Yes, you do, because you keep on doing it. To yourself, you sound good. Do you sing in the shower? And you sing like nobody's listening. So this is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about God, look at my heart. Like I'm singing in the shower, and you're actually listening. And I turn around to God and say, how'd you like that? And he takes his earplugs and say, sing it again. Because it was that bad, but it was good to you. So in our life, there are some things that are bad that will pull us away from being in a right relationship with God. David understood that. Then he began to experience the consequences of that. I believe that nobody in here who knows God and has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ wants to be separated from his love and his grace in your life, because that's the strength in any situation. That's the joy that causes you to stand. I went to the CEF banquet yesterday, and I was looking around the room at all these old people. I is one. But people who have been through some situations, trials, and tribulations, and I see how good God has been to them just by the fact that they were sitting there. And how when we confess our sins, come boldly before the throne of grace, and let God examine our hearts and our motives, how he can push us to victory. Do you know that you already have the victory? One, you might explain it to some other people in here. Do you know that you already have the victory over death, hell, and the grave? And that one day you will be in the presence of the Lord, made whole. And all of this stuff will make sense. That trips me out, because sometimes I don't want it to make sense. But all this stuff will make sense, because your heart will be clean. There'll be nothing separating you from you and your God. So I'm looking at these people, and I see Dee Stidham back from the dead. Did y'all hear me? Back from the dead. Renewed, revived. And then I see this little man get up and talk about going to Russia. Brian, who used to attend this church. Back from the dead. And I say, well, come on. I want to enjoy this brisket and this salmon. Please do not convict me. I just want another piece. I don't want to think about this stuff. I just want to. And he says, Floyd, how's your heart? How's your heart? You're going through a few things and stuff, but how's your heart? Can you suffer a little while for me? In your weakness, can I be your strength? What about David? What did he say when these things happened to him? He said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Well, if you're renewing a right spirit in me, maybe I got a wrong spirit. Maybe I have a wrong spirit. Maybe my motives are wrong. Maybe I want some stuff that you just don't want me to have at this particular time, and you've said no, and I don't understand no, especially when it's in reference to me. Now, when God says no to you all, it's good. It's a lesson you should learn. You should hear no. When that cartoon is something that you shouldn't see, and that parent said no, you didn't tell them you, well, my teacher told me I had rights, and maybe we should vote on this. In the house that I grew up, they cut the cord. That'd be the vote. Y'all don't understand that, because you got rights and stuff. My mama told me, I'll tell you when you have rights. Y'all didn't have a mama like that, did you? Huh? I'll let you know when you're sad. I'll let you know when you're mad. I'll give you permission to do that. I say that because we need to know that God is who he says he is. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's all-wise. He's everywhere present. So we got to keep our hearts clean. And I know a lot of times we don't really think about that because that's deep cleaning. That's not, you know, how you doing, Floyd? I'm blessed. No, how you doing, Floyd? I am sick of this. I am tired of this. I'm tired of you all telling me that I'm wonderful, because I'm really not. I'm okay, but it's only because of God. It's only because of the deep cleaning. It's only because of the listening. Man, in the last 2 weeks, I do not want to go to another doctor's office, but I got 3 appointments this week. And I'm going to all of them to see what God is going to do. Because that's deep cleaning. I'm leaning, I'm depending, I'm counting on him, and I'm trying to listen to his voice so he can kind of tweak me and tell me what to do and where to go. Because I have no other help but him creating me a clean heart, renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from your presence. Can you imagine being out of the presence of God? Now that's a horror movie. Can you imagine being out of his presence? Can you imagine him taking his Holy Spirit from you because you're disobedient to him? I don't want that to happen. So I need to take the time to rip my clothes off, sit in the little sackcloth and ashes, and actually listen to God. Listen to God. And when I say listen to God, I don't know how you listen to God. It might be in music, it might be in the Word, it might be looking at TV, reading a book. I don't know. But I'm talking about deep cleaning. That means that you don't have all those external things. It's just you and God, and you kind of telling him what he already knows about you. Y'all look kind of crazy when I said that. Telling him what he already knows about you and agreeing about the things that separate you from him. So, look, Dave got his act right. The baby died, and it was a horrible thing. It was another situation because his advisors had to come in and tell him that the baby died. He didn't kill Nate for that, but he might kill them for that, because that's a horrible thing. That's a life-changing event. And Dave was in there throwing the ashes on himself and pleading with God and asking God. And they looked at each other and drew straws and said, somebody got to go and tell him that the baby died. And so they all went to the door and he said, is the baby dead? And they said, yeah. And he got up and he washed his face and he ate. And he went on about his business because life goes on. Hello? This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice in it, and we're going to be glad. Whatever it brings, we're going to be glad. And that's deep cleaning in our heart. Could you? Would you? Can you stand a deep cleaning in your heart? I told God, no, let's talk about Easter. The bunnies and the candy and the ham and stuff. He said, no, Floyd. You need to talk about deep cleaning, because that's what we need. You know, after Mom made us clean the house and stuff, even as a child, I was kind of glad. It smelled good, it looked good, And I know I'm going way back. I'm going into a cultural thing, but I need to ask. Did any of y'all grow up with plastic on the furniture? Oh, it's a black thing. Nobody said yes. Just us. That furniture had to last 30 years. Plastic on the furniture. And if it was white furniture, some kind of thing between you and that room. Yeah. Like at the show where they have that rail, that red rope or something like that. Yeah. Y'all think I'm making this up. I'm in church. I'm not lying. I am not lying. But let's take the plastic off our life and let God use us. The day that my mom took the plastic off the furniture, we wanted to commit her. Because we didn't know what was going on. Is this a test? No, you sit on it. No, you sit on it. No, you sit on it first. Can I have your shoes if you sit on it? Take the plastic off your life and let God do a deep cleaning so you can push past whatever's going on, because things are going to happen in the believer's life. Anybody know that? And we need to be right with God. David ate and he washed and they were looking at him like, aren't we going to mourn? He said, no, I've been mourning all this time. He's gone. We need to go ahead and do what we're going to do. David's life didn't get any easier either. I shouldn't have said that. I should have said, the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. You could have just rushed out. His life did not get any easier. It got harder. But he still had a heart for what God had promised him and had in store for him. And he still was obedient to God in every situation. I hope that's our prayer today, that we could be obedient. Show and tell. All of this is show and tell. I need to show you what God can do, and I need to tell you what God can do. Should be obvious. So I never got a G.I. Joe with a kung fu grip. Anybody knows what that is? This is a test. This is one of those old folks' tests. So, back in the day, in the 19th century, if you were less than rich, you got army men's. Anybody know about army men's? This won't be a sports illustration or anything like that. Raise your hand, because these people need to know. You know about army men's? So, we would get 1 million army men's. Because each army men's had a different pose. But then time got better. And because they didn't want us to be feminine, we didn't get cans, we got G.I. Joes. And there was two kind of G.I. Joes. It was just the regular G.I. Joe who could do this and do that. But then there was a G.I. Joe that had a kung fu grip. And this is a G.I. Joe, you want it. Well, I don't know about you all, but I didn't come from a G.I. Joe family. We could just get G.I. Joes. So Christmas and birthday, because that's close enough, you're going to get a G.I. Joe with a kung fu grip. Because I lived in an apartment building and all the other boys, maybe we'd get a G.I. Joe, or if I was the only one with a G.I. Joe, get a G.I. Joe with a kung fu grip. And I knew I was going to get a G.I. Joe with a kung fu grip because the box was like this, and it was packaged, and it had the little paper on it and stuff that had to be a G.I. Joe with a kung fu grip. And I opened my box, and it was the army man's. And that's the reason why I'm like this. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace, your loving kindness to us. Thank you because you are God and you will create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit in us. Sometimes we wander far away from you and we have to really examine our hearts, our motives, our minds. The things that are in us, because they certainly come out of us, God. They're not the things that exalt you, that represent you, that really show who you are. Thank you for the strength that you give in time of trouble, the joy that you give when we are perplexed, God. But cause us to examine our hearts and our minds and stuff and just clean out the attic, God, so that you can have room to work in our life. And cause us to see what you've done in other people's lives as they've certainly gone through trials and tribulations, God, and suffered some things, but you have brought them out, and you are the God who has already given us the victory in Jesus Christ. Help us to suffer the way you would have us to suffer, that it would build character in our life, God, that we might know who Jesus is and be that example of him everywhere we go. As we leave this place today, God, there are things in our lives that would separate us from you that are hidden, God. Take the cover off of it. Move the furniture in our life. Cause us not just to dust over it, but to clean it and let you clean it in our spirit, God. Let your Holy Spirit move in our life today, causing us to be the men and women that you would have us to be. And cause us to be examples of Christ wherever you are. Thank you for your cleaning in our life. And thank you that we can always go to the throne of grace and obtain mercy, God. For we ask it in Jesus' name. We thank God. Amen. All right, leave and be blessed.